I'm an alcoholic.
Stepping all over my pants. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to scream, and I'm going to talk a little louder. I'm going to be a little more animated to keep you awake. And then I'll start backing off in about 2 hours because you're going to have to keep me awake. Because we're going to start moving forward with this process that we have here called the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in Louisiana. You could reach me at dmuir01@gmail.com. That's dmuir01@gmail.com. I will email you the packages. I get emails from around the world that listen to these tapes. And I want to thank Terry's audio service. He's done a great job here. Terry, thank you very much for taping this. And you could, it looks like he's a local boy here. Local boy here. You can reach him on terry.rogers@lusfiber.net. That's terry.rogers@lusfiber.net. I always want to put a plug in for the guys over there who do all the work. I just get up here and get all the credit. They do all the work. All right. So, where did we leave off? I lent somebody my big book, and I... 53. God is or he isn't? What did we come up with? What was the answer to that? Yes, no, I forgot. Yes. Okay. I hope so. All right. It says here, it talked about when we became alcoholics crushed by a self-imposed crisis, page 53, second paragraph, we could not postpone or evade. We had to fearlessly face the proposition that God either is or isn't. And I said he wasn't. I said, nope, God is not, my sponsor asked me. He says, well, then you're hosed. There we go with the hose thing again. Like, what do you mean I'm hosed? There's got to be a door two. There's got to be a door three. You mean, like, nobody stays sober? Who hasn't found God? He says, I don't know. I haven't found somebody. And I was like, there's got to be. You know, I'm always trying to fight the system. I know none of you have ever done that. I was trying to fight the system. And so he says, you're on step two. Don't worry about it. Step 12 states, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. Singular. Not drinking, going to meetings. Having had a spiritual awakening, not drinking, going to meetings. That's not what I heard. I don't know how we ever paradigm shift over to that, but we did. So when he read that to me, he says, well, will you believe that the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous have kept you sober for 92 days? And I said, yeah, I could do that. He says, well, let's just move on. He kept pushing me forward. He knew that when I finished these steps, I was going to get a spiritual awakening. He knew it. I used to bet $1,000 to each one of my sponsees that I took through the steps that they didn't get a spiritual awakening. I almost lost one, the Henry T. He was an atheist. I almost lost. And he got in so much pain one night. I was on a four-day trip. I was flying. He got to his knees, just screaming out for God. And he got this huge spiritual awakening. He's been sober almost 12 years now to this day. So, all right. Our young ladies have come in. We'll wait for them to sit down. Not that I want to embarrass anybody. Well, actually, I do. And I did go outside and I made amends to them. Well, not this one here, but... you know why? I get so excited when young people come into this room because they don't have to put up with the BS that all of us had to put up with, right? I mean, I came in at 32. I was very fortunate. But can you imagine coming in at 19, 18, 27, you know? Can you imagine? Oh, all the damage that I wouldn't have had to make amends for. That's what I like. All right. What I want to do is I want to turn to a chapter. You may have heard of it. Chapter 5, How It Works. I'll never forget. So I'm in a meeting. What does it say? Who dat saints say gonna beat them? Who? Somebody say this in Louisiana, please. You all are killing me. You're killing me here. You know what? I'm going to root for the Saints. Don't tell my brother-in-law that, who has season tickets for the Jets for 25 years. Apparently, they're doing well, too. I mean, I'm seriously, I don't know. If it doesn't have a ticker tape going along the bottom of the TV, I ain't watching it. So So we have a chapter here, how it works. I actually heard in a meeting, how does this work? I went, you're joking. No, seriously, how does it work? Oh my God. Okay, well, how about if we go to this chapter 5, page 58. It says how it works. Why don't you read it? Better yet, I'll read it for you. That's what I said to him. I'll read it for you. Wow, I didn't know that was there. You know, we read this every day in every meeting, how it works. You got these old-timers over there that sit there and they memorize it and they say it, you know, like it impresses me. Whatever, that's great. You're a lot smarter than I, that's for sure. And they got it memorized, how it works. Check this out. The first sentence says, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed the path. What does rarely mean? Right. Rarely have I seen a person make it past the year. So where did they come up with this writing? I showed you in the numbers. 75% of the people that used to come in, would stay sober for a year. And how did we know that? You're probably saying, how do you know that? I'm glad you asked. They used to have to sign their name in. They'd come in and they'd sign their name into a book. And then we started talking about the anonymity process, so they stopped that. But that's how they kept on who stayed sober. And 75% of them would stay sober for a year. So I did that when I started a meeting, and it was dead on. It was 75%. 75%, almost 8 out of 10 people that came in stayed sober for a year. We had people go to the door and greet. You had to work your steps within the first 30 days. You sponsored someone immediately. You joined this home group, and we show you how to pray and meditate. Yep, 75% of them stayed sober for a year. It works, I'm telling you. Rarely have we seen a person fail who's thoroughly followed the path. So, the first question is, what? First question is, for those of you listening to the tape, I am going to get a blue marker, and I'm writing, what is the path, correct? Path, that wasn't even close. What is the path? I want to know that path. If rarely people have failed, what's the path? This is the path. What I want you to write in the top left-hand corner, big book, is the path, steps is the path. When you read the history of Alcoholics Anonymous and the letters going back and forth from Bill Wilson, Dr. Bob, I have deduced that they were talking about the big book and the steps. That's the path that we're talking about. And rarely did they see a person fail who thoroughly followed this. Okay, does that make sense to everybody? When I learned that, then I thought, well, if that's the gig, then I'll just do that. I'll do the path. I have no problem with that. If you go down to page, you're on page 58, go down to the third paragraph. It says that some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, and this is the second and last time they're ever going to beg, we beg of you. We beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. So now you're probably thinking, well, Doug, how do you bring people through the steps in 5 hours and are thorough at the same time? From the start, we get out the big parts, and from the start, we work the 10th step, and we're continually taking inventory every night. It's going to show up. It's going to come up. I forgot I robbed that bank. I forgot I beat up that guy for his girlfriend. It's going to come up. Every night, you're going to start doing inventory, starting today. I'm going to show you how to do it. Continue to take personal inventories. Does that mean continue for the first 90 days until I feel better than I stop? I'm coming up on 15 years. I still do it every night. Every night. It takes me minutes. It's something I don't want to stop. It's a checklist. I challenge you and invite you to do that with me every night. Okay? I'm going to show you how to do that. So it says here, if you turn to page 60, if you go under the ABCs, the first paragraph says, being convinced we're at step 3. Well, let's get convinced. Let's turn back to page 59. Number 1. I ask this question to you. as if you were my sponsee. Do you admit you're powerless over alcohol and that your life would become unmanageable? Yes, no. Okay, number two. Do you come to believe that a power greater than yourself can restore you to sanity about alcohol? Yes or no? So are you convinced you're at step three? Let's turn the page. That simple, wasn't it? Page 60. Okay? Page 60. Now, it says, being convinced we're at step three, which is that we decided to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood him. Just was that, what does that mean? And just what do we do? Question, answer. Next paragraph. The first requirement. Now, that should say the first requirement for step three is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. How has that been working for everybody? The self-will thing. What's, you know, I get a lot of questions. What's God's will? What is God's will? This is what I do. This is what I found out. I call it the square peg in the round hole. How many have tried to do that? Relationships? That's a joke. That square peg in the round hole, right? Square peg in the round hole. I'm dealing with a sponsee out of Providence, Rhode Island. Oh, my God. The square peg in the round hole on relationships is just absolutely crazy. So what I do is I do my best. I do my absolute best, whether it's in business, whether it's in a relationship. And if it doesn't work after a while, I move on. My dearest friend, who's a captain for United Airlines, took a huge pay cut. And so he's really, really good of being in between the pilots and the union. So he's kind of like he's called an assistant chief pilot. And he needed money. I said, listen, I need a great chief operating officer. I'm speaking now around the world. I don't have time to run the company. I need someone to do what I do. And we could subsidize you for that. He was excited. He did it for me. My dearest friend that I grew up with and drank with. But guess what? He kept on thinking about me as the guy in the drunk. So he kept on talking to me like I was that guy in that drunk. And I finally had to pull him aside and say, listen, that's not me anymore. You know, you've missed 14 years of my life. I mean, yeah, we've touched base and we've kept in touch. And finally, it just got so overwhelming. I am not that guy. And I love you to death, but we need to move on. Okay? We need to move on. It's putting the square peg in the round hole. Do the best you can and let it go. The universe will take care of itself. And then what's going to happen is you're going to see a year or 2 years or 3 years down the road why it came about. I wanted to fly for one airline only. And I got that interview. I finally got the interview as a kid. And I had an operation on my right eye. And it was illegal. And so I got all the way to the medical. There was 1,000 of us that interviewed. 100 of us got to the medical. 2 of us got hired. I was one, and there was an F-18 pilot out of California. And I went to this place, and I had the application in the medical. The question they're going to ask me, and it says, have you ever had RK? Question number 72. I'll never forget it like it was yesterday. And my friend, who was the captain of this airline, says, tell him no. Tell him no. Tell him no. And so I had 2 applications, and I felt them, and I felt them, and I wrote no on one, and I told the truth on the other, and I was going to take the other one. And I didn't. I took the lie, and I handed it in. I admitted I was an alcoholic. They pulled me out of the medical stage, and they put me in front of the surgeon for this airline. And he goes, hey, I'm the one who started the employee assistance program for the whole United States. I hope you could help me with this. I'm really looking forward for you flying for this airline. I mean, oh, it felt so good. 3 weeks later, I get a call. I got to fly back out to Denver. I go into Denver. The doctor looks at me and goes, you of all people, why did you lie? I'm like, what are you talking about? He says, we got your records. You had RK done to your right eye. You put no. We know you had it. And I sat there and I had an out-of-body experience. And I said to him, you know what hurts me? That I lied to you. That hurts me. It's the first lie that I've had in sobriety, and it was to you. And that hurts. He says, well, you can no longer work for our airline. I just told Human Resource we took you off. And as I'm walking out the door, he looked at me and he says, Doug, RK has been legal for the last 2 years. Think about this. If I would have got on that airline, I would have not met my wife going over to Rome, Italy. I would still be flying airplanes instead of having this unbelievable life in the business world that I absolutely adore, love, cherish. Right? So I'm looking at, thank God that happened. Do you see what I mean? So just know when this, with all your heart, just know that when this stuff happens and it's so bad and it's so painful, you're going to look back and I guarantee you, you're going to say, oh man, thank God. Really? I promise you that. And the only way that I learned that was through these steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Think about that. I want you to turn to page 62. Check this out. First paragraph, selfishness and self-centeredness. That, we think, is the root of our problem. Really? I always thought it was you hosing me. I had no idea it was me. So it's not the alcohol that's the root of my problem. It's the selfishness and self-centeredness. So we got a problem here, don't we? So how are we going to get rid of that? Trouble, correct. That, we think, is the root of our trouble. So now if you go down to the next paragraph on page 62, it says, so our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot. You think? Though he usually doesn't think so. I'm telling you, everybody hosed me. I did nothing wrong. I had 21 pages of a four-step and nothing in the fourth column. On my first four-step. So my sponsor's like, you harm nobody? I said, nope, those sons of bitches. By the time I was done, that fourth column was packed. I'm like, wow, I'm pretty selfish. Okay? Above everything. What does above everything mean? Above everything? Okay. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of selfishness. We must, or it kills us, exclamation point. God makes that possible. God makes that possible. Okay? So I got to get to God, don't I? But I'm still atheist. It ain't happening. I'm at the third step. I'm still not with God. So if you go to page 63, I want you to box in the first paragraph on page 63. All right? And I want you to write third step promises. It's the third step promises. These are the promises. And as you're reading, I'm going to read it to you as you're writing. Excuse me. When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer being all-powerful. Please circle that powerful. Folks, how many times have I mentioned that you're powerful? You're not powerless nowhere in this book, except in the step when it talks about alcoholism, are you powerless? If you have a God or somebody that is all-powerful that you could tap into, how are you not powerful? How are you not? Okay? You are all powerful. It says here, he provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. How many of us have that? More and more we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, circle new power, here's more power. New power flow in. As we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose the fear of the today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We were reborn. We were reborn, and that happened to me. So then my sponsor comes into my house, and he says, we're going to do the third step. And I said, okay. And he gets to his knees. And I'm like, oh, my God, what are you doing on your knees? My kids are running around. I'm embarrassed. Get up. He's like, aren't you the guy who used to like poop in your pants and walk into a bar? And you're embarrassed that I'm on my knees? I thought about that. It did sound kind of stupid. I said, but I'll sit here on the couch. Because what happened was, they used to take you up to Dr. Bob's bedroom, and they used to make you get on your knees, and they wouldn't let you up off your knees until they believed that you believed in the third step prayer, right? So it's pretty tough. Boy, they were tough. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite all 1,100 of you to... What? Okay, here we go. I'm going to invite all of you to join me on your knees, if you would. And we're all going to say the third step prayer together. Just like the first 100 did. And it's on page 63. It's a lot for 1,200 people to get on their knees, so we're going to wait for a little bit. Second paragraph. We now say step three, many of us to our makers as we understood him. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thy will. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Awesome. All right. Now, let me show you how this works. We have a threefold disease, correct? What is it? Right. So we have a spiritual disease, right? Physical disease. Hold on. Let me get there. Boom. We have three maladies. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. They break them up into 3, 4 to 7 here and then here. Okay? 1 through 3 are the spiritual part. They take care of that, right? Just look at the spiritual part. Hopefully we're getting to God. We're getting closer to God. We're studying God. We're getting ready to do some tough stuff now, aren't we? We're about ready to do 5, 6, and 7. We're going to look at some real bad stuff, right? This is the mental stuff, 4 through 7. That's the mental stuff. We're going to be doing a lot of thinking. We're going to be doing a lot of writing. Steps 8 and 9 is the physical. We have threefold of these, spiritual, mental, physical, correct? Do you see that? So these are the steps that work on that. Steps 10 through 12 are just steps 1 through 9 on a daily, which I do, on a daily basis. That's where the 12 steps come in. You have a threefold disease, spiritual, mental, physical. 1 through 3 take care of the spiritual, 4 through 7 take care of the mental, 8 and 9 are the physical. I'm physically going out making amends to you. Steps 10 through 12 are just 1 through 9 on a daily basis. Can I say it faster? I can say it in Louisiana. We got steps 1 through. Okay? Got it? Does this make sense to you now? That's a threefold disease. We just finished 1 through 3. Now we're about ready to move forward with the mental disease. The mental part. Okay? All right. What I want you to do now, it says here, after we just read the third step prayer, it says if you go down to third paragraph on page 63, we found it very desirable to take this spiritual step with an understanding person. It doesn't say sponsor. It doesn't say anything like that. They were called sharing partners back then. Okay? It says, such as our wives, best friend, or spiritual advisor. But it's better to have God alone, meet God alone, than one with who might misunderstand. The wording was, of course, quite optional. I had 2 atheists up to this point. There were 2. And I said, all right, well, the wording was quite optional. Write your own third step. And they did. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced in my life. Because they were like artists. And they wrote this third step. And they were crying as we were on our knees. And it was the most beautiful thing. And guess what happened at the 12th step? Well, actually, it was the 9th. God was everything in their life. I knew it was going to hit. It happened with me and it happened with them. It says the wording was, of course, quite optional. Have them write their own. They don't like the verbiage. Who cares? Write your own. Okay? The wording was, of course, quite optional. So long as we express the idea of voicing it without reservation. Voicing it without reservation. This is only a beginning, circle, beginning. How many people have seen this? 1, 2, 3, drink. 1, 2, 3, drink. Steps 1, 2, 3, drink. 1, 2, 3, drink, right? That's got to stop. It's going to stop here today, too. It says, this is only the beginning. Though if honestly and humbly made, if you're on your knees, can you be any more humble than on your knees? No. So that's why I do it. Plus they did it. Checklist. Check. Just finish 3. Check. Next. Okay? Here we go. This is the deal. There's no time frames in doing the steps, right? That's not true. It says here, next we launched. How fast is launched? How fast is next? Let's wait a month. Let's wait a year. Let's contemplate on the fourth step for a little while. Next we launched on a course of vigorous action. When I graduated college, I graduated with an aerospace engineering degree, and my roommate and I took the test. I was going to the Navy. I was accepted into Navy pilot training, and he was accepted into the Air Force, of which, by the way, I just found him, which was great because I owed him an amends. He's the commander on the F-15 base in Jacksonville, Florida. So we hooked back up, and it's great to see him. So 25 years later, he's still flying upside down, Mach 2. So anyway, I got into the Navy, and Billy and I got hired on by the airlines, which was my end goal anyway, so I just went to the airlines. But Billy didn't, so he went to the Navy, the Air Force. He's still there. And I said, Billy, how fast is launched? And he says, well, they strap you in, and you do like 0 to 160 feet when they launch you off like a carrier or a simulation. He says, it is fast. So next we launch. They use that word for a reason. And it doesn't mean finish the third step and sit. So what do? I look for a... could I have the forms? What I do is when we're done with that, I get them right into the fourth step. I write the fourth step. How many people, how many sponsors... I don't want you to raise your hand. But I want you to think. How many sponsors here... Thank you, I want to stay away from that. How many sponsors here say, okay, what I want you to do, if you go to your steps, your forms that I gave you, I have resentment, I have fear, I have sex, and one that most people don't know about, I have harms done others. How many people say, go home and fill this out? Yep, I used to do that. 2 months later, hey, where's that fourth step? I'm getting on it there, coach. Really? I could see that. So I have them in my... It's like a sales... If you don't think Bill Wilson was the best sales guy in the world, this is a sales pitch, and I'm closing the deal right now. There's two things I remember, and only two. Telling my sponsor the thing on the fifth step and completing the ninth step. Those are the only two things. Everything else is kind of like foggy. All right? So I'm right there. I am right there, and I'm in front of them. So the first thing I do is I take them over here, and it says, next we launch on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning. That's step four, okay? Which many of us never attempted. No kidding. Though our decision to do the third step was a vital and crucial step, it could have little, oh my God, there is the word, permanent effect unless, how fast? At once, circle that, unless at once, followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom. It's but 1/12 of the problem. Admitted we were powerless over alcohol, get over it, move on. Our liquor was but a symptom. So, we had to get down to the causes of the condition, therefore we started a personal inventory. This was step four, boxing step four, okay? Now, I'm going to show you the four parts right now to step four. If you go on page 64 and you go one, two, three, go to the third paragraph, you're going to see resentment. Circle resentment and highlight it. Next to that, put part one, all right? So you have your worksheets. You have your worksheets here, and I even got them in order for you. Resentment. Right? So I got this at the table. And then I say to him, okay, resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. You think? I mean, when you're pissed off, are you thinking of God? Or you're thinking how you're just going to gouge the guy's eyes out? All right? That's what I'm thinking. I'm not thinking of Buddhism. I'm thinking, you know, gouging his eyes out. It's the number one offender. I've seen more people go out on resentment. Resentment and the ninth step financials. Those are the two big ones. Or doing the 1-2-3 drink, 1-2-3 drink. All right? Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stems all forms of spiritual diseases. For we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. That blew me away. I thought if I just stopped drinking, it would all straighten out. That's not the way it worked. I had to get to the spiritual, then this thing straightened out. And this is how we do it. Spiritual, mental, physical. Do you see that? They put that in order. But if I had a sponsor who didn't know the steps, I would have been stuck here. I never would have got to my spiritual awakening, which was here at step 9. And he kept pushing me forward because he knew at step 12, it was going to kick in. Does this make sense when it's explained that way? Now, it says here, in dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We don't sit in bed smoking a cigarette thinking, am I pissed at anybody today? Nope. We set them on paper. So they could hear that from around the world. We set them down on paper. We list people, institutions, and principles. People, institutions, principles. See that? I did this for you, folks. Just for you. Just for Louisiana. It says, we listed people, principles, and institutions with whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry, the cause. In most cases, we found out that self-esteem, pocketbook, ambition, personal relationship, including sex, which is the third column. And then you come over to the fourth column, okay? The fourth column is, if you go to page 66, I want you to go to the first paragraph on page 66. It says, it is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. If you go down four lines, it says, resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it was fatal. For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of alcohol returns, and we drink again. And with us, to drink is to die. If we were to live, we had to live free of anger. That's a tough, tough order, isn't it? I haven't done it, but I've reduced it. If you consider it at 100%, when I came in here February 1st, 1995, as an angry person, I remember my first wife said to me, I'd rather you hit me than talk to me the way you do. I have been the perfect ex-husband. She's been a dear close friend. We have worked through situations that are, it's truly amazing. Truly amazing. Okay? It says here, if you go to page 67, if you go to go to the bottom of page 66, last paragraph, it says, this was our course. They're going to show you the course on how to be anger-free. You ready? This was our course, bottom of page 66, last paragraph. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms and why they disturbed us, they, like others, were sick too. And here's a prayer that I would say a lot in the beginning. We ask God, whenever it says in the big book, we ask God, it's a prayer. We ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick person. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, this is a sick man, how can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. When I'm done with the resentment, you'll start with mother, father, sister, brother. Every time I'm done with a certain category, mother, father, sister, brother, we will get to our knees. It's just something I do. And I'll have them say that prayer about that person. Okay? All right. It says here on page 66, if you go to the second paragraph, referring to our list again, putting out of the minds the wrongs others had done. You know, when my sponsor wrote that, told that to me, I was like, well, what do you mean? I got 21 pages here. I have nothing in the fourth column. It's everybody's fault. It says, we resolutely look for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? And I have that written in the fourth column. Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person's involvement entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white, right on paper, admitted our wrongs, and honestly, and were willing to set the matter straight. Folks, there's things... When I was growing up, my alcoholic father, and all came with that, was huge, huge beatings. You know, the broken nose, the broken arms, the lying in school, what happened to me, you know, because I was always a tiny kid. And so when I got to the dad on the resentment part, of course, it was huge. So when the fourth column was empty, I'm looking at my sponsor. I'm like, how is this one my fault? He says, it's your fault because you are 32 years old and it's 0.00000001% your fault. I'm like, how? He says, you're still bringing it up, you're still hashing it up, and it's killing you inside. Until you forgive that man, you will never get over this resentment. So let's get to our knees and let's forgive him. Let's do it right now. Let's make it happen. Do you know anything about your father? I'm like, no. He says, I want you to go home and I want you to start talking to your mother. And then I started learning about my father. And then I started asking my mother, why were you on the stairs watching this happen? And then I started learning about my mother and what was going through her mind. And before you know it, all this love came from my mother for forgiveness, for watching this stuff happen, and my father for doing it. It was truly, truly amazing. And my mother, before she died, we had this unbelievable relationship. Only because of you in Alcoholics Anonymous was I able to do that. Right? Walking around resentment-free is just, oh, it is so freaking awesome, I'm telling you. If you haven't done it, you got to do it. Today's the day. All right? Now, I want you to be on page 67, last paragraph. It says, notice that the word, no, that's not the one I want to go to. Page 68, I always do that. Page 68, first paragraph. It says, we reviewed our fears thoroughly. Circle fears, put part two. Now, what I do is I bring them to the fears. And you know what? I can categorize, and I know what you're going to say before you say it. I'm worried about not staying sober. Why? Because you haven't. I'm worried about money. Why? I'm always broke. It just seems like it's the same thing. Alcoholism, broke. They all go hand in hand. Okay? I'm worried about being alone. I get that all the time. Not having a boyfriend, not having a girlfriend, getting a divorce. Losing everything, right? The fears. So what do? It says here, we review our fears thoroughly. We put them down on paper again. Do you see a consistency in the fourth step here about paper and pen? Okay, we put them down on paper. I was just bringing a 19-year-old through the steps. So we're going, and I emailed him this. And he came, and he goes, whoops out his laptop, turns it on. Starts typing his fourth step in front of me. I'm like, yeah, technology. But I'm like, but what about the pen and paper? Well, yeah, I mean, come on. We're talking 1935 to 39. They didn't know about computers. So that was my first fourth step on a computer. It was pretty cool. So it says here about the fears, and it says, we ask ourselves why we had them. So you have the fear here. You ask why you had them in the second column. And then the third column is just, what would God have me be? Not do. Do is an action word. Be. What would he have me be? All right? And then you're going to see in that paragraph, it says, trust to rely on God. Trust in an infinite God rather than a finite self. Play the role he assigns. What would God have you be? A good steward, a good father, a good girlfriend, a good boyfriend, a great employee. Can you imagine showing up early and leaving late? Being an employer of a massive amount of people, I could probably think of 10% of the people's names, maybe, not even, because they're outstanding. They're outstanding people. You know, when AAs are really on the beam, they are the best employees. It's when they fall off the beam that, well, but when they're on the beam, you're the best. You're there early, you're showing up, you're doing the deal, you're honest, you're trustworthy. Okay? So be something to be proud of. And then when you go down to here, and folks, this is always my favorite, the sex inventory. Okay? On page 68, last paragraph. Now about sex. Circle it. Highlight it. Put part three next to it. This is the thing that puts everybody's panties in a wad. No offense. All right? Now about sex. Many of us needed an overhauling there. But above all, we tried to be sensible on this question. Okay? Go to page 69. Now, don't think Bill Wilson was a pervert and put 69 on sex. What happened was they needed to move the numbers back because they started numbering him his story, which used to be in Roman numerals. So they moved it back, and it just happened to hit 69. It was an act of God, if you will. So on page 69, if you go to the first paragraph, we reviewed our conduct over the past years. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, and considerate? Whom had we hurt? Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion? Where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? We get these down on paper, and we look at it. If you go to the third paragraph on page 69, if you go to the second paragraph on page 69, third sentence, we ask God to mold our sex ideals and help us to live up to them, okay? Talking to a sponsor or sharing partner is great. I try to stay out of it. There's this thing going around that you can't date within the first year. I have studied this book until I am blue in the face, and I've never seen that. So this is what I say. If you have finished the steps, if you are praying and meditating, if you are sponsoring others, if you have service work and you are doing this, then the only way to find out about life is to get into a relationship. That is like the supercharged steroids of learning about life, right? Get on it, because you're going to be on the beam. So when and if it doesn't happen, you're okay. And you learn. That's the only way you learn. But you know what I did? I took this sex inventory, and I turn it onto the back, and I write the top 10 things. And I say, God has come down and just touched your head. I want you to design your perfect mate. Right? I did it. And I wrote my perfect mate. Of course, I'm a male, so to start off with looks. And when I do sponsor females, because in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, if you read Bill's story, it says he took 5,000 men and women through the steps. And I do that in my house when my wife is there. Okay? And if you don't want to tell me your fourth and fifth step, I'm cool with that. You just use her. If you do, I'm cool with that too. Okay? And I love the women's because it's really cool. I want them spiritual. I want them to hug and cuddle. And guys like, I want them. You know what I mean? But anyway. So I had the 10, and I took it, and I pasted it up on my mirror in my bathroom, and I looked at it every morning, and I said, God, I am worthy of this, because we could beat the hell out of ourselves, and I'm sick of that too. Stop it. And I said, I am worthy of this, and I pray and meditated, and I saw this female, and I saw this person, and I'm flying along, and I'm going to Rome, Italy. And I'm walking through the terminal, and here's this Roman Italian, 26 years old, that smiles at me. And I'm thinking to myself, she digs me, of course. I walk on the airplane, I just met my new ex-wife. And they said, show me. And the flight attendants would come running out, and I'm like, she's going to be giggling. And so when she comes on the plane, they pulled a prank on me, and they said, excuse me, ma'am, the captain wants to see you in the flight deck. And I hear a knock. Excuse me, El Capitano. And I turn around, I'm like, hey, really cool. And I said, this airplane is not moving until you give me your telephone number. And I like telling everybody that she didn't understand English, so she turned around and walked away. She goes, no, I understood English. She goes, I wasn't going to give you my number. And she turned around and walked away. Never saw her again. Until 3 years later, I'm in Charlottesville, Virginia, and I all of a sudden I hear, El Capitano, and I turn, and there she is. And I tell you that story because I'm worth it. And she is 9 out of 10 on my list. So every time I would date, after a month, because we're all on our best behavior, I go over the list. And if they didn't get over 6, we would break up lovingly. Or continue on if they wanted. I was cool with that, too. I'm honest. And then she came into my life, and it's been 7 years, and it is like this. Do you know we have never had an argument? Ever. Now, we work together. So sometimes when she doesn't meet what she's supposed to, all hell breaks loose. But personally, we've never had an argument. I don't love my wife. I adore my wife. You know, I hate this travel thing. It was so much easier when I wasn't in love because I didn't care being on the road all the time. You know what I mean? Now it hurts. Now it's tough. You know? But I know I'm doing good stuff with all you people. I know I'm doing good stuff. And also in business when I travel around the world. But she is 9 out of 10. So So remember that you were worth it. So now I'm back at the table, and I'm sitting with this guy or girl, and we're on the resentment list. And we just went over resentment. So they're thinking, okay, I could do this. And they're ready to spit out mom, dad, sister, brother. And I said, tell me what you came here not to tell me. And their face goes like this. And they know I got them. And I said, listen, with all due respect, I don't want to waste your time. Really, what I'm saying is, don't waste my freaking time. And I say, so if you don't tell me, you're going to drink. So just go out and drink. That's fine. But I want to know right now what you're not going to tell me. And I don't care if it's sex with a horse. I don't care if it's with a pig. I don't care if it's another guy. I want to know right now. And then the tears start coming. You know, when I started sponsoring females, it made me, believe it or not, more soft. This is the soft me. Because I heard stories, oh my God, that would just, it was truly amazing. But then I heard guys' stories that were just, oh my God, truly amazing. And when they get it out, they look at me like, oh, and that's what happened with me. And I'm going to show you in the fifth step, my sponsor asked me 9 times in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, when you do the fifth step, are you sure you're telling me everything? So let's go to that and I'll show you. So it says here on page 69, second to last paragraph, says, whatever our ideal turns out to be, we must be willing to grow toward it. We must be willing to make amends to those circle we have done harm. Done harm. Right, part 4 next to that. Why is that? That's my harms done others. Oh, here. Very simple. Person's name, who'd you screw? And I don't mean sexually. Person's name, who did you hose over? Why? Because in the A step, it says we get it from the 4 step. So you got it right here. You just transfer it to these cards that I made up for you. I'll show you the cards I made up because I used to be like, you know. And I'd walk in and they'd be like, Doug, what the f***? Do you want your scumbag? And I'd be like, ugh. So when I got a card, I would knock on the door and when he starts screaming, I'm here to make amends to you. I have harmed you in a way. I'd be like, you're embarrassing me. Get in here. Right? So we have harms done others. Follow me so far? All right. What I want you to do is at the bottom of page 69 is I want you to remember this. Sponsors out there, you may be able to give advice and that'd be great, but don't tell people what to do, at least not in the sex, because it says right here, God alone can judge our sex situation. Counsel with persons is often desirable, but we let circle God be the final judge. All right? You know if it's right or wrong for you. I don't have to tell you what's right. Some people like swinging off chandelier. God bless you. All right? Multiple partners. Whatever. That's up to you. Okay? But for me to tell you what I think? No. I'm not going to do that. When you work the steps, when you help others, when you pray and meditate, it all falls into place. You'll feel it. You got this God clock in you. You know that God clock when you tell a lie and it's like, oh, I can't believe I just did that. No, that's not true. I just lied. You know, I did that my first, 10 years. So what I want you to do is on page 70. If you go down to page 70, first paragraph, about 7 lines down, it says, if we are not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, we are quite sure to drink. We are not theorizing. These are facts out of our experience. You got it? You'll drink again if you continue to hurt others. So stop it. Stop the hurting. Okay, love yourself, and you won't harm anybody else. I guarantee you that. It says here, if you go down to on page 70, and it's third paragraph, last sentence in the third paragraph, it says, we have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct, right here, and we are willing to straighten out the past if we can. All right? It says, this book you can read again and again, and that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We hope you are convinced now that God can remove whatever self has been blocked you off from him. If you have already made a decision, so that's step 3, and an inventory, that's step 4, of your grosser handicaps, circle. You have made a good beginning. We're still at the beginning. All right? So let's move forward. How much time? 3 minutes? 37. 27. All right, great. Wow. Chapter 6, Into Action. At the top of Into Action, folks, we are going to scream now. We're going to go through steps 5 and 11, through 11. You ready? So now you got the guy in front of you. First thing I do is I say, okay, I got the 4-step in front of him. And where I'm resentment, I'm like, tell me what you came here not to tell me. And then after all that stuff is done, that takes about 15 minutes because it's just devastating to him. Devastating. And then I start writing down, I got a pen. All right, tell me right now who you hate, who you just despise. And they give me a name, and then I write down the cause. And then I tell him because they can't see. Well, was drugs and alcohol involved in here? Always drugs and alcohol involved. Were you a trustworthy person? Your parents don't pay attention to you? Well, have you ever paid attention to them? Have you come home on time? Do you stay out 3 days at a time? You know what I mean? So it all just starts clicking like, oh my God, I never thought. People who don't have children, you have no idea what it's like when your kid does not show up. You have no idea what it's like when they're in pain. You don't have any idea. All right? So then you go and you do the fears and you ask them, what's the fear? Give me your biggest fear. And then you start writing it down. And then you go to the sex. You already took care of that because 9 out of 10 times, the thing, and we all got the thing, is the sex thing. Okay? And then you go to harms done others. Now you're done. And the guy's just like, can I get a drink of water? Right? Can I get a drink of water? And I normally let him take a break. So now we're done with the 4-step. That nasty 4-step is done in an hour. It's done in an hour. They're finished, completed. And you know the only thing they remember is the thing. They don't remember resentments. They don't remember fears. That's all gone. They remember the thing, and they are so free that they can't believe that they told me that. And that was my thing, too. Well, let me tell you how my thing came out, and it wasn't pretty. I came to my sponsor with 21 pages of resentments and fears and one sex thing. But it wasn't the sex thing from Tennessee, the thing that I was going to take to my grave. So he says here, okay, here's chapter 6. Let's look at chapter 6. First paragraph. Having made a personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude and a new relationship with our Creator and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. Are you kidding me? We have ascertained in a rough way what our trouble is. We have put our fingers on the weak items in our personal inventory. What's the next word? How fast is now? So we don't wait a month? So I'm already done. I'm ready to go. I got the inventory in my hand. So now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which when completed will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to circle step 5. Now, if you go to page 72, second paragraph, 7 lines down, it's going to tell you why to do step 5. The best reason first. You see that? The best reason first. Now, this is where my sponsor got me. So I'm there. I give him my 21-page 4-step, which took like 3 months. So I lived in agony for 3 months. And he has it. And he looked at me. He goes, well, let me tell you why what happens with this 5th step. He goes, you ready? I said, yeah. He says, the best reason first. If you skip this vital step, you may not overcome drinking. So if we skip this step, buddy, you're going to drink. And he goes, I'm sure about that. Are you clear on that? I said, absolutely. He says, okay. Let me just do a little reading, and I'm going to ask you some questions. I said, cool, I can do that. He says, time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. And he looked me straight in the eye. And he says, are you holding back any facts on me? And I'm like, I thought he went into my soul. And I'm looking at him, and I'm sitting at this table, and I'm like, no. I lied right through his face. No. I'm not holding anything back. I'm like, how did he find out? How am I going to get out of this? Did I write it on the back of a paper? What did I? I'm doing my 5th step, but I'm lying. He says, okay, that's cool. So I want you to write number 1. That's the first time you're going to ask somebody. You're going to ask them 9 times. Okay? So it says, time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. That's number 1. Are you sure you're telling me everything? Number 2, trying to avoid this humbling experience. That's number 2. So he says, are you trying to avoid this humbling experience by holding back anything? And I'm like, no, man, Greg, I'm no. And now I'm getting a little nervous, but I'm still cool. He says, okay, cool. He says, I'm just asking the questions here. He says, they have turned to easier methods. That's number three. He says, are you turning to an easier method by holding back anything? I said, Greg. He goes, I'm just asking the questions. He says, almost invariably, he says, which means almost always, almost invariably they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We, the first 100 people of Alcoholics Anonymous, think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. He says, are you holding anything back or are you completing your house cleaning right here, right now, tonight? That's number four. And I said, now I'm twitching. And now my foot is starting to go like this. And he's like, what's that noise? I bet my foot. I'm like, he knows. So if you go down about five lines, it says, but they had not learned enough humility, fearlessness, and honesty. In the sense, we, the first 100 people of Alcoholics Anonymous, find it necessary until they told someone else, circle all, their life story. Number five. He says, are you telling me your whole life story withholding nothing? Now I'm not even answering him because I am just, I was almost peeing myself. I stutter now when I was thinking about what I was going to tell him. I was like, how does this guy know? So then he went to the bottom of the page. He says, we must be entirely honest with somebody. That's number six. He says, are you entirely honest with me withholding nothing? So then it says, if we expect to live long and happy in this world, that's the top of page 74. Then we got to page 75. And I want you to box in the first paragraph. And that is considered step five. So I want you to box it in step five. Okay? So step five says, when we decided who was to hear our story, how much time do we waste? Where do people say there's no time frames? Right? We waste no time. If someone's hearing your story, do it. We waste no time. We have a written inventory, and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner that we are about to do what we're about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged, folks. This is a life and death errand. We are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approaching this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. I am so honored when someone asks me to do the fifth step. I really am, and so should you be, because it is a huge honor. The first couple may screw you up because you're going to hear some real bad stuff, so just don't go in there and say, no, kidding. Did you really do that? Try to stay straight-faced, okay? You don't want to say, man, you're sick. Yeah, high five it on the... No, you want to hold back from that, okay? So it says page 75, second paragraph. So now we're back, and he says, buddy, he says, I'm just going to tell you and ask you about another three more times. So if you want to lie to me, you can, but when we're done, you're finished. He says, we pocket our pride and go to it, eliminating every twist of character. And that's number seven. He says, are you eliminating every twist of character? I said, yes. He says, every dark cranny, that's number eight, of the past. And I said, yes, I am. And now I'm stuttering, and now I'm tearing up, and I'm crying. And he says, all right, well, this is it. I'm going to ask you one more time. If you want to hold something back, you're going to drink again, that's fine with me, but you're just wasting my time. He says, once we have taken the step withholding nothing. He says, are you withholding anything? And I went, yes, what about a C, 1984? And I just spewed all over the table. And when I was done, I looked up. I went, and he looked at me. He's got this little smirk, New Jersey smirk. He's sitting back in his chair. He says, that's it? I'm like, yeah. He goes, man, that ain't nothing. And he told me his story, and I was like, oh, my God, you're sick. Now, if I was to tell that to a priest, I wouldn't have got the same reaction. But I told it to an alcoholic who was sicker than me. So now I'm like, I just joined the force. It was great. I felt phenomenal. I got it out. And do you know, I don't remember if we did the rest of the four step to this day. 21 pages. I don't like my mom and I like my dad, whatever. right? But that's all I remember. And that's why you do this. And that's why you give them an hour, because that's all they're going to remember. The rest of this stuff's going to come out when I show you the 10th step. Get it out. Get it on paper. Get it out. Get the big stuff. I don't care if guys of Susie Lou didn't let you touch your private part when you're 5. Get over it. Okay? We want the big, meaty stuff, the now stuff, the today stuff. Okay? So when I got that out, it changed my life, and the floodgates opened. Now, what I want to do is, it states here, withholding nothing. It says, once we have taken this vital step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. These are the fifth step promises I'm about ready to read. Fifth step promises. We can look the world in the eye. We could be living in perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but we now begin to have a spiritual experience. I want you to go down to the third paragraph on page 75 and circle, returning home. This is what you have your sponsee do. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour. It gives you a time frame. Send them home for an hour. Now, when I went home, I have ADD, so I could have been sitting there for 3 minutes. It seemed like 90 days. I don't know. But I was supposed to have an hour. I still don't remember if I did do that. But I know I sat in a room by myself, carefully reviewing the first what we have done. So, since we already did it together, I say, let's review what we have done. It says here, we thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. That's a prayer. So I say the prayer with my sponsee, because I just brought him through some real tough stuff. To me, it wasn't tough. For him, it was tough. Taking this book down from the shelf, we turn to the pages which contain the 12 steps. Write page 59, and then I turn to the 12 steps. So I ask you this on page 59. Number one, do you all admit that you're powerless over alcohol and your life's become unmanageable? Yes or no? Yes. Number two, will you come to believe that a power greater than yourself will restore you to sanity about alcoholism? Yes. Number three, will you make a decision with me here today in Lafayette, Louisiana? To turn your will and your life over to the care of God as you know. And number four, did you just make a fearless and searching moral inventory of yourself? Well, he just did. It was in front of me. So they will say yes. Okay? So then I turn back to page 75 and I say, all right, well, carefully reading the first five proposals, which we just did, we ask God if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? I say yes. Are the stones properly in place? I say yes. Have we skimped on the cement put in the foundation? I say no. Have we tried to make mortar out of without sand? I say no. So then I turn to page 76 with my sponsee or sharing partner in front of me. I say, if we can answer to our satisfaction, which I just did, those four questions, we, what's the next word? How fast is then? It's next, right? Do you see any time frames? Let's wait a week. Let's wait a month. Let's wait a year. I heard somebody say a step a year. I think I almost fell over in my chair. We then look at circle step six. We have emphasized a willingness as being indispensable. And I look at them and I say this. Are you now ready to let God remove from you all the things that you have admitted are objectionable? I ask you that now. Are you? Okay. Can He now take all of them, every one of them? Yes? All right. This is it. Here's a God prayer, six-step prayer. If we cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. All right? Then we go to step seven. Now, step seven is back on your knees. So I want you to join me on the seven-step prayer on your knees. This is what they used to do. Now, in step seven in the original manuscript, if you read it, it says, humbly upon our knees. It used to say humbly upon our knees in step seven, but they took it out because there were religions that don't believe in getting on your knees. So I want you to read with me. It says here, when ready, we say something like this. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. All right, that's fantastic. Now, I want to show you something if I can get this bottle. If you noticed, after the seventh step, it said amen. After the third step, it did not. Does anybody know why? Ah, very good. So on the third step, you're not done yet. Right? But on the seventh step, when they say amen, in religious terms, does everybody know what amen means? So be it. You're right. It was the original sound, so they. Does anybody know who they are? They're very popular everywhere, they. So they say that it was the original sound, there's chanting. Sometimes you'll hear Buddhists and monks chant the original and it's amen. Little history. All right, we have 12 steps, right? Step three. So you come up to step three over here. You do step three, and you don't say amen. You read the prayer, which gets you prepared to do some heavy stuff that you were just doing. Now, you have just looked at some ugly, ugly stuff. And what you do is you say, so be it. It is what it is. I did what I did. It's over. Amen. Thank you. Meaning, thank you. Give me that. I realize what you say. Now, let's go clean it up. This is the step that separates everybody. Everybody. How free do you want to be? I wanted freedom like no one else's. So I finished my ninth step. And when I tell you the story of my ninth step, it's going to freak you out. But I did it. There's a new guy on the circuit speaker, and you got to hear him, Richard B. He's only got 5 years sobriety, but it doesn't matter. I've seen people with a year I'd rather have than guys with 30. And this guy is a walking miracle. And his ninth step was just like mine. How free do you want to be? You do want to be free. And I'm going to show you how that works. Okay? So we just did the seventh step. So we said, amen. We have then completed step seven. Circle step seven and highlight it. You're on page 76, second paragraph. What's the next word? Doesn't this blow you away? Have you all seen this before? Circle now. How fast is now? Now. Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at circle step seven, step eight and nine. Circle that and highlight it. We have a list of persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. Harms done others. When I get these sponsees and they come in and they say, well, I went to the beach and I kind of lit it on fire and went poof. I'm like, great. Genius. Rewrite it. We're going to redo the four step. And I make them redo it. Like, what are you talking about? And then I bring them to this page. It's like, well, that's just kind of, I'm like, either we do it this way or we don't do it. I don't know any other way. You know, it's great that you let it go to God and whatever, sacrificial lamb. But that's what we did. It says here, we made a list of persons we had harmed and to whom we were willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory, okay, to ourselves, to a drastic self-appraisal. What's the next word? Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. Now we go out. So what do? This is the fifth step in your forms. Okay? Look at this sixth step. How do you like the sixth step? This sixth step I have right here is every character defect known to man. But do you see a difference in this thing? The difference in this... Oh. Why don't you tell me? Like I'm still in the fist up. There it is. The difference is here. If you look to the right side, it's the exact opposite of the defect. I am sick and tired of us beating ourselves up. Let's stop it. Let's show, if you do have this defect, let's show you where you can go to. In my business consulting world, I tell people this. How do you know where you're going if you don't know what the end is? So I do this thing with them called a challenge definition form. And I say, where are you going to be 3 years from now? I want to know your big, hairy goal. And we start writing. And then we do a metrics, a measurement of success. Okay? Then I back up and I say, how are we going to get there? And then I walk them through the process and a measurement of success to when they get to the end of the success. Do you see that? So I want to know how bad you think you are. And then I want to show you where you can go. Do you see that? So what I invite you to do on the sixth step is to make a check. I did 62 of them. I think I'm down to like 30. Just make a check on which one you think you are, not now, and then write a little blurb. For an example, selfish. Do you think you're selfish, dishonest, resentful, afraid, fearful, arrogant? But look at the other side. It says humble, modest, mild, grateful. Isn't that beautiful? So you know where to go to. You know what to do. Okay? That's the sixth step. And then the seventh step, what we did is we got on our knees and read the seven-step prayer. Okay? Now, this is the A-step card that I was talking about. This was the card that somebody gave me because I just kept on knocking on doors and freaking out. I wouldn't know what to say. I forgot what my resentment was or what I owed him an amends for. So I got this card going, okay? I got this card going. All right? It was a 3x5 card. And on the front, I put the person's name, address, and telephone number and what I did to him. Okay? And on the back, what I would write are the three questions. Are there any more harms I have caused you? Shut up and listen. Do you need to tell me how this hurts you? Is there anything I could do to right this wrong? And you're going to hear some hurtful stuff. You're going to hear stuff you're going to have no idea. I had no idea how my mom worried about me. I had no idea. And she says, you will never know until you have a child. Oh my God, I do now. And they're 19 and they're 18. And they're very good kids. I'm very fortunate. They're nothing like me. Thank God. My youngest one is, but not in the drinking and drugging, more in the personality traits. Class clown, class talker type kid. So this is what you do, and you're going to hear some unbelievable stuff. But you know what? I'm going to start telling you about my amends in the next tape. And you're going to hear some stories, and they're all true, and they're not exaggerated. And boy, they hurt, and it still hurts when I tell it. But I want to tell you this because if I went to any length and got this life here, so can you. All right? But you're just going to have to suck it up, and you're going to have to go do it. That's it. You're going to have to feel sick to your stomach, and you're going to have to knock on the door. You might throw up. I did, because it's just so bad. But it states here in the ninth step, as I'll read to you, nine times out of ten, the unexpected happens. Nine times out of ten. And they're about dead on. Okay? So what I want to do is I want to take a break here. Can I take a break here? He has 7 minutes. But yeah, I'm going to take a break because then I'm going to go from here and go through, finish up. Good? All right. All right, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.